Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world, and happy Valentine's to each and every one of you on this grand 14th day of February. And I trust that there are a lot of happy hearts out there, and, you know, no pun intended, because we're going to talk a lot about hearts and cholesterol today. So this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. And I would like to welcome each and every one of you to this call again today. This broadcast is a very special broadcast. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes or so, we're going to really have a great experience, like a tree-hugging experience or a tree-flying experience. You know, today I would like to shed some light on a type of fat that's found in your blood. That fat is called cholesterol, and cholesterol is made in your liver. I mean, whenever your body needs to make hormones, it makes a phone call to the liver to get some cholesterol first. You can find cholesterol in many places such as meat, fish, eggs, butter, cheese, and milk. I mean, you need cholesterol to help your brain, your skin, and many other organs to do their job in the body correctly and efficiently and effectively. And when we hear this word cholesterol, most of the time it's linked to cardiovascular disease. Cardiovascular disease affects 65 million Americans. You know, close to 1 million Americans have a heart attack each year. And in the U.S., one person dies every 39 seconds of cardiovascular disease. And I'm using that word cardiovascular. You're going to hear that word a little bit more as opposed to heart disease, because this is Valentine's. This is the heart day. You know, one of three deaths occur in the U.S. is caused by cardiovascular disease. You know, one in three Americans have metabolic syndrome, which are risk factors that are related to being overweight, being obese, and having insulin resistance. You know, the total cost of cardiovascular disease 7 years ago was estimated to be around $300 billion. Now, to put that in perspective, the World Health Organization, they have estimated that ending world hunger would cost approximately $195 billion. And a recent study which looked at the relationship between heart disease and lifestyle suggested that 90% of cardiovascular disease is caused by modifiable diet and lifestyle factors. So a lot of it is in your diet and how you live. You know, here's a few myths out there about cholesterol. You know, cholesterol will kill you. High cholesterol causes coronary heart disease, even though there's no proven link between dietary cholesterol and coronary heart disease. Saturated fat. I hear this a lot. Saturated fat is dangerous, even though there's absolutely no correlation between saturated fat and heart disease. The biggest issue for the body when it comes to fat is, where's the fat from? Where are they from? You know, raw fats from a healthy diet is your friend. Raw fats from a healthy diet is your friend. So that means raw fats are good. Artificial and fats from processed foods are the kinds of fats you should avoid at all costs. Processed foods. A lot of us buy those for convenience sake. You know, great sources of healthy fats include nuts, wild-caught fish, wild meats and grass-fed meats, chia seeds, flax seeds. There may be a little controversy there. Avocados, eggs from organic pasture-raised chickens, olive oil, and coconut oil. Another myth out there is the higher your cholesterol, the shorter your lifespan. Even though in a major inquiry into cholesterol known as the Framingham study, they found that those who actually lived the longest had the highest cholesterol. I'll give you a little bit more on that later. You know, you've undoubtedly heard that high cholesterol is a good predictor of heart attacks. Well, statistics actually show that more than 50% of people who were admitted to the hospital with cardiovascular disease have normal cholesterol, whereas those with high cholesterol are seen to have healthy hearts. It's almost like it's a play on words here. You know, many people take medication to lower their cholesterol numbers, and it's said that these statin drugs will prolong your life. But research shows no difference in death rates between patients who take statin medication and those who don't. As a matter of fact, statin medications can cause major negative side effects on the body, such as memory loss, loss of libido, and muscle pain, as well as fatigue. So if high cholesterol and high fat diets are not the cause of heart disease, then what is? You know, how did all of this get started in the first place? Well, about 100 years ago, when a German pathologist theorized, operative word here, theorized after studying plaque in the arteries of dead people or corpses, that cholesterol in your blood led to the development of plaques in the arteries. So then another scientist in Russia, along that same time period, he fed rabbits cholesterol and made the determination that it led to atherosclerotic changes, even though rabbits don't eat cholesterol. But anyway, remember, atherosclerotic is the buildup of fats, cholesterol, and other substances on the arterial walls. And this all started the process that eating cholesterol leads to plaque being deposited in the arteries. And during those times, it was believed that all cholesterol in the bloodstream came from what you ate. But this isn't true, because we now know that your liver makes approximately 75% of your body's cholesterol. That's right, 75%. So what does it mean? Let's say you don't eat anything that has cholesterol in it. No meat, no eggs, no fish, no butter. You hate cheese, so you don't consume cheese. You don't drink any milk from any animal. You don't consume any of those foods. Your amazing body would get 75% of the cholesterol it needed from the manufacturing plant called the liver. 75% of it would be manufactured in the liver. You see, your body produces it because it is needed by every one of your cells to produce the cell membrane. So no cell membrane, no tissue, no organ, no you. So once again, as we have shared on previous programs, that virtually every physiological process that your body performs is facilitated at the cellular level. Let's go back a while. Let's go back in time. Back in 1953, Dr. Ansel Keys, you know, A-N-C-E-L, Keys, like the key you put in your door, he published a paper that later served as the basis for just about all the scientific support for the cholesterol theory. I mean, this study, known as the Seven Country Study, it actually linked the consumption of dietary fat to coronary heart disease. So when Dr. Keys published his analysis that claimed to prove the link between dietary fats and coronary artery disease, he selectively analyzed information from only seven countries to prove his correlation, rather than comparing all of the data available at the time, which was from 22 countries. Studies, he excluded things like that did not fit with his hypotheses. You know, basically, he excluded everything that showed that a low percentage of fat in the diet and a high incidence of death from cardiovascular disease, as well as those with a high fat diet and a low incidence of cardiovascular disease, he excluded that part of it. So if all 22 countries had been analyzed, there would be no link between the consumption of dietary fat and coronary artery disease. And it's ingrained in us. It's ingrained in us. Ingrained grains, we should drastically reduce in our bodies. But anyway, a little bit more on that later. You know, I mentioned earlier about the Framingham study. Well, a Dr. William Castelli, C-A-S-T-E-L-L-I, you know, who was the former director of the Framingham Heart Study, he said this. Let me see where I can find this. Right here. In Framingham, Massachusetts, the more saturated fat, 1/8, the more cholesterol, 1/8, the more calories, 1/8, the lower the person's serum cholesterol. That is like unbelievable. I mean, it's amazing. The more saturated fat you ate, the more cholesterol you ate, or foods containing cholesterol, the more calories you ate, the lower your serum cholesterol. So that's cholesterol in your bloodstream. The opposite. This is the opposite of what Keyes and his group predicted. He went on to say, we found that people who ate the most cholesterol ate the most saturated fat. They ate the most calories, weighed the least, and were the most physically active. Think about that. That's completely opposite of what we've been taught, even what I learned in school. I mean, if you look at all of the diets out there, most of them are telling you about calorie restrictions and all of the things, lower the fat or get some kind of synthetic type fat or trans fat. So how important is cholesterol? I mean, what is it? Why do we need it? You know, this soft, this little waxy substance, not only found in your bloodstream, but it's also in every cell. It's in every single cell of your body. So what does it do? It helps to produce not only the cell membrane, as I've said, that's everything that keeps the contents on the inside and what's on the outside stays on the outside. That cell membrane has sodium and potassium gates, so you need salt. You need salts. I mean, you can begin to see that a lot of things that we take in are so important. It's so important. We talked about the hormones. I said before, but cholesterol is needed to make hormones, vitamin D, which we talked about, the last two sessions, because of vitamin D, you need the vitamin K1, K2. I can't even get into all of that because I have a time limitation. It also helps you to digest fat. Cholesterol helps you to digest fat. Cholesterol also helps in the formation of your memories. And it's vital for the functioning of your nerves. People that are diabetic, they kind of understand it because they have a lot of neurological problems. And a lot of those individuals are on cholesterol medication. Okay, we've established the fact that your liver makes about 75% of your body's cholesterol. And according to conventional medicine, there are two types. There's the high-density lipoprotein, HDL. This is the good cholesterol that helps to keep cholesterol away from your arteries and remove any excess from arterial plaque, which may help to prevent heart disease, right? Then there's the low-density lipoprotein. Lipo means fat and protein. You know, why is a protein attached to it? Think about that for a moment. This is the bad cholesterol that circulates in your blood, and according to conventional thinking, it may build up in your arteries, forming plaque that makes your arteries narrow and make them less flexible, and this less flexible, narrow artery has a new name. That name is atherosclerosis. Osis means it's a condition. Sclera means it's hard. Athero means it's in a vessel, an arterial vessel. And if a clot forms in one of these narrow arteries that lead, leading to your heart or your brain, the result will be a heart attack or a stroke. Now, then there's the triglycerides. Because most people, talk science. When you're talking this science, most people understand HDL, LDL, triglycerides. Now, triglycerides, elevated levels of this dangerous fat have been linked to heart disease and diabetes. Now, triglyceride levels are known to rise from eating too many grains and too much sugar, especially refined sugar or these synthetic sugars, being physically inactive, smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol excessively, and being overweight or obese. So you see, there's a combination. It could be any two or three of these combos that can lead to that. And finally, there's a substance that's made up of an LDL or so-called bad cholesterol and what they call an apoprotein. Apoprotein. It's an apoprotein part called a lipoprotein A. So it's LPA or lipoprotein A. Now, not many people heard of this. A lot of doctors haven't heard of it. Or if they have, they don't kind of like test for it. And this is an elevated LPA or lipoprotein A level is a very strong risk factor for heart disease. And this has been well established. But very few physicians check for it in their patients. And here's the take home on this. Your total cholesterol level is not, total cholesterol is not a great indicator of your heart disease risk. Because cholesterol is neither good or bad. You know, actually, there is only one type of cholesterol. There's only one type. You know, there was a doctor, Dr. Ron Rosedale, who is widely considered to be the leading anti-aging doctor in the United States. He does a really good job at explaining this concept, and he says that HDL and LDL are fats that are combined with protein. True. Okay, I'll buy that. So there's only one cholesterol. There's no such thing as a good cholesterol or a bad cholesterol. Cholesterol is just cholesterol. So just hold on to that for a moment. You know, stay with me on this. Cholesterol is just cholesterol. And he went on to say that cholesterol is a vital component of every cell membrane on Earth. I already mentioned that it's critical for the cell. In other words, there is no life on Earth that can live without cholesterol. So cholesterol is one of our best friends. I mean, we will not be here without it. So if you are lowering your cholesterol levels too much, what is it going to do? It's going to increase your risk of dying. I can't stress this, no pun intended on the stress thing, but I can't stress this enough that cholesterol is a precursor to all of the steroid hormones, not only cell membrane, but all of your steroid hormones. You got hormones coming out of your thyroid, your parathyroid, your adrenals, hormones, ovarian hormones. It's you got about what approximately 87 hormones that have to be made every day, and you need cholesterol to make it. There's no DHEA if there's no cholesterol. There's no pregnenolone if there's no cholesterol. As a matter of fact, take your liver out, and there's no you. People think that the gallbladder's taken out, the appendix taken out, thymus taken out. The workhorse, the liver, is vitally important because it is the machinery, it is the manufacturer of what? Cholesterol. When the pituitary, say the pituitary makes a phone call, where is it making the phone call to? Makes it to the liver. We got some stress going on. Make some cholesterol. We need more cholesterol. You cannot make estrogen. You cannot make testosterone. You cannot make cortisol or cortisone and a host of other hormones without cholesterol. I mean, you're already aware of the incredible influence of vitamin D on your health from previous programs. I mean, I've shared this with you many, many times with many of you many times. You know, most of us realize that the best way to obtain your vitamin D is from safe exposure to the sun on your skin, right? That, you know, that's where the UVB rays in the sunlight, it interacts with the cholesterol on your skin and convert it to vitamin D. That's why you shouldn't use synthetic soaps to when you're taking a shower or a bath, because it's going to take that UVB ray that's connected with the oily substance, which is cholesterol on your skin. It needs about 24 hours. Well, some books say 24 to 48 hours to actually get down into the skin where your body can utilize it. It's important. So now, if your cholesterol levels are too low, you will not be able to use the sun to generate sufficient levels of vitamin D. And when you're low on your vitamin D, there's a host of there's a whole, I did what, 30 to over an hour of what happens if you don't have enough vitamin D. And if you don't have the vitamin K1, K2 to go with the vitamin D, now you need the UVB rays from the sunlight to hit your skin in order to get into the system. And if you don't have that going on because you don't, you know, you're taking something or you're eating less cholesterol, you know, laden foods, we're going to have lots of problems. And some of, well, I'll mention that later, but it's, some of them are you feel it every day. You know, many people are concerned about their cholesterol levels, but they're taking a drug, you know, but taking a drug, they're not, well, some of them are taking a drug, but if you're taking a drug, that should be your last resort. And I mean last resort. Why? Because the odds are very high, like greater than 100 to 1, that you do not need drugs to lower your cholesterol. Do not need drugs to lower your cholesterol. You know, you typically don't need a statin drug to lower your cholesterol unless you have or you had genetic challenges of familial hypercholesterolemia that required it. So it's a genetic thing, which not many people have. Statin medications inhibit not just the production of cholesterol, but a whole family of biochemical substances that are vitally important in that go on inside of your body to keep you functioning. I mean, there's like a ton of biochemical reactions that go on that are, I mean, necessary. If they're not going on, there's going to be breakdowns in other places. So basically, you have these small interactions that are not going 100%. They're not being really effective in the reaction, which creates a domino effect, which leads to a dysfunction of a system, an organ and an organ system. But it's not traced back all the way to the cellular level and then back up, you know, back up the stairs to cholesterol. That's too hard. This is like too much work for most healthcare professionals out there because of obviously they're overworked. They're seeing too many patients because a lot of people that are there shouldn't be there because of dietary. There's a dietary component there. It's not their job to sit you down and tell you what to eat, what not to eat, things like that. They're not trained for that. So, you know, I look at it, it's not the doctor's fault. We have to, as individuals, need to take responsibility for, you know, our wellness instead of looking for a quick fix. This is an everyday thing that you have to do. Do you think, you know, it's a good thing that your liver is not making a phone call to you? Because, you know, you might tell it, you know, not right now. It's like it's too early. I got these other things I need to do. I'm under stress. I mean, cholesterol lowering or statin drugs, they actually deplete your body of an enzyme called CoQ10, coenzyme Q10, which is beneficial to heart health, which is beneficial to muscle function. So you have to have that. It's you know, you have this word, it's essential. And then another word called necessary. Some things are necessary, but they're not essential. Essential means you must have it. Necessary means that you know, it's a, you can some days miss on this one, but if it's essential, the body has to have it every day. And CoQ10 is one of those because it's what it's beneficial to your heart health. It's beneficial to your muscle health. So if you are not supplementing with coenzyme Q10, that depletion alone can lead to fatigue, being tired. It can lead to muscle weakness. It can lead to muscle soreness. It can lead to high blood pressure, lead to stroke. It can lead to gingivitis. And also, which I think is probably most critical. And all this depletion and what it leads to is generalized weakening of the immune system. So if you have generalized weakening of your immune system, that's your major police force of your entire body. and then heart failure. Because it could be, you could have arrhythmias, all the way from arrhythmias to major heart problems, like cardiomyopathy, and all these fancy words. You know, muscle pain and muscle weakness may be an indication that your body is breaking down. You know, if your body's breaking down, that a condition that can lead to kidney damage. So, I mean, because I know people that have kidney issues, their numbers are leading toward that the kidney is malfunctioning. It's still in range, and the doctors are keeping an eye on it. But you're not tracing it back to cholesterol. You're not tracing it back to your diet. You're not, you're tracing it back to stress levels and all of these different things, exogenous on the outside. What about on the inside, stuff you're putting inside or the lack thereof? Kidney damage, which is going to put more strain on the liver, because the liver has to, do some of the kidney's function to keep the body, rocking and rolling. Fad drugs have been linked to an increased risk of polyneuropathy, which is nerve damage that causes pain in the hands and feet, and having trouble walking. So I know people that are progressively have gone through these steps where they need a walker now. You know, dizziness, cognitive impairment, including memory loss, which I mentioned before, a potential increased risk of cancer, depression, and liver problems. You know, that's one reason why when you're on medications like that, those who are on these statin drugs, they get their liver enzymes checked frequently. It leads to liver enzyme abnormalities. It increases. The liver enzymes increase. So cholesterol is not your enemy. It is not your enemy, and it is not evil. But inflammation is. So the real problem is not the cholesterol. It's the inflammatory response. There's a connection between cholesterol and inflammation. You know, inflammation is linked to so many different disease states, and one of those disease states is heart disease, the same heart disease that cholesterol is often blamed for. Inflammation is your body's natural response to invaders. When there's an invader present, the process of inflammation is what allows you to heal. If you get a cut on your skin or if your arteries are damaged, the defense mechanisms in your body will lay down a patch or a bandage in the form of a plaque to heal it. So this plaque, along with the thickening of your blood and the constriction of your blood vessel, that normally occurs during the inflammatory process can increase the risk of high blood pressure and heart attacks. Cholesterol comes into the picture because in order to replace your damaged cells, it is necessary. So if you have a bunch of damaged cells that need to be replaced, your liver will get a phone call to make more cholesterol, and release it into your bloodstream. This process takes place in order for your body to produce new and healthy cells. So if cellular damage occurring on a regular basis, if it's occurring on a regular basis, it leads to a chronic inflammatory process that can be very dangerous, long term. Chronic inflammation is due to oxidized cholesterol and, scrambled eggs or overcooked eggs, eating a lot of sugar and grains and, eating trans fats or having a sedentary lifestyle or smoking or emotional stress, then this is what you should do. You know, make sure you're getting plenty of high-quality animal-based omega-3 fats, eating raw foods as raw as you can get them, eat raw fats like olives, olive oils, coconut oil, organic raw dairy from grass-fed animals, avocados, make sure you're organic, eating foods from organic meats, get the right amount of exercise, avoid smoking and drinking, excessive drinking, and embrace your stress. Don't react to it. I'm sorry, I gotta go. This is Dr. Budweiser. We'll see you next time and have a great Valentine's Day. Bye-bye.